Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we're talking about the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. This is a four-day event that will be taking place at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, and we have one of the co-directors of the festival with us today, Peter Alexander. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, hi. Well, thanks, of course, for having us. And you know, thanks for the contribution you're making to local animation and the local arts. Everybody at the festival appreciates it.
Well, thanks for the kind words. And we do want to mention that your co-director, Marissa Cohen, is out and about. She's preparing for the festival at this point.
Yeah, she would have loved to have joined us as well. So we're being pulled in a lot of different directions, you know, right now. But it is all coming together nicely. And as you were mentioning, we have a four-day event, August 3rd through 6th at OMSI. We're going to be screening in the Empirical Theater, Theory, and we'll have panel discussions in the Kindle Planetarium as well. So we're going to be all over OMSI and 119 films, 22 countries. I believe it's 68 animated projects, so a lot of animation and a lot of very innovative projects as well.
There are a lot of film festivals out there and even a few animation festivals. So what's special about this festival? How are you bringing together cinema, animation, and technology?
Yeah, it's a great question. I know that the festival name can be a bit of a tongue twister, a bit of a mouthful, but it really does sum up what we're doing and kind of what makes us unique and unusual. Since we founded the festival back in 2002, we've had a focus on technology and not just technological or projects that had a technological orientation to them, but even how we screened projects in the old days. Like, we were one of the first festivals to do all of our screenings off hard drive, which now that doesn't sound like a very big deal. It's like, that's what everybody does. But back when we did it, we were one of the first. So we've always been looking for innovative ways to screen films and projects that incorporate technology in some innovative, interesting way. Like this year, we have a handful of projects that are really kind of pushing the envelope on tech quite a bit. One of them is Critters, which is from director Chad Nelson, and that short's been in Annecy and Tribeca and a couple other really just top-notch, amazing festivals. And they used artificial intelligence in the creation of it, but in some very cool ways that I think are going to blow people's minds. I mean, it's just a really cool project.
AI is making the rounds these days. It's controversial in some circles.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, because people have asked us, like, how are you going to handle, you know, the whole AI issue? And what we did is we really focused on AI being used as a tool, not just where someone pumped in some prompts, walked away and said, okay, I'm going to let AI do all the heavy lifting for me. Our approach was, hey, this is a legitimate tool. It's not going to go away. But what we looked for were projects that used AI, again, as a tool. It was part of the process. It wasn't the end-all be-all of the making of, you know, the short or the film.
So there is no stealing of other people's artwork involved.
Yeah, it wasn't that kind of thing. I mean, okay. I think what Critters did that was very innovative is they had the AI be part of the process. It was their jumping off point, and then they sort of cultivated and curated and manipulated what the AI produced or how the AI would contribute to the process, if that's making sense.
Well, not all of the technology is digital in this festival. Much of the animation that you'll be screening is hand-drawn or done with stop motion or other traditional methods.
We have it all. I mean, we have awards for object manipulation, which is, you know, what people think of as stop motion. We have some great stop motion projects. One of them is a feature that just a tremendous amount of work went into that. And it's a Return to Kellogg from director Carolyn Gare. And she is an Emmy Award winner, an Annie nominee. And she pretty much did this film on her own. And it's a stop motion feature. That's one great example. Another great example is a film that I think, a short film that people are really going to like if they come out, and it's called Of Wood from Owen Clapp. And he's worked on a lot of really cool stuff like Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach. But what he did, it's kind of amazing. You know, I've seen thousands of independent films and shorts, you know, in the last 20 years. And he carved everything by hand. So he has a stop motion short and it's all carved. He just sits there with wood and carves out the entire story. And you don't see obviously him and his tools, but you know, he does it stop motion. And it's just beautiful. And it's, you know, you just don't see things like that. It was just very innovative and captivating to watch. But yeah, we had other projects like there's a French project, Dark Cell, which John Tari, the director on the project, he's like a visual effects guru who worked at Ubisoft video game company for many years. And besides having awesome visual effects in it, a lot of what he did that we thought was pretty cool is he 3D printed a lot of his props. So this is live action with a lot of, you know, CG animation in it. But he's got all these like really cool 3D printed backgrounds and it's an action film. And so it's got some weapons that are 3D printed and it's just, you know, really cool. And Hibernation from director Joel Benjamin. That's one of several projects that we have that use the Unreal game engine. So the whole project was done inside Unreal. And we have several projects that have done that. And his sticks out in my mind. So another project that used Unreal Engine real quite effectively and motion capture as well was Belonging from Eric Baer. And he's executive producer and was the series lead on the series. It's actually a full 8-episode, I believe, series. One of the episodes that we're showing is from Shakespeare. So he's showing how you can even use motion capture with Shakespeare.
Now, give us a little bit of a rundown on some of the visual effects you're talking about.
Well, I mean, what's happening more and more is people are trying to figure out how to just jump in with the Unreal Engine and essentially do things real time. It's like, it's pretty impressive to see it in action. Unreal Engine's really useful with motion capture. So you can just go in and sort of, you get these human-like movements because you're doing the motion capture. You know, you put people in the motion capture suits and use Unreal Engine and you're not having to sit there obviously like you would with 2D or to a lesser extent, you know, 3D and actually animate or manipulate the animation. But we also have a lot of visual effects that are what people think of as traditional visual effects. Like one project is Fear Incarnate, and that's from Dylan Coburn. And he's actually the visual effects art director on the new Lord of the Rings television series, the Rings of Power. So, I mean, we're getting some of the best people in the world, the most knowledgeable people in their field, you know, have submitted to this festival and their work is on display. And I think folks that come out and check out the festival are going to be really impressed and really surprised at how amazing these projects are to be independent works. You know, they're not studio-backed creations. And I think that's a testament to the technology and how it's evolving and growing.
Well, speaking of the studios, right now you have writers and actors going up against the studios. And I know that visual effects artists have had their issues about exploitation with the studios as well. You know, there's a lot of outsourcing. There's a lot of sending work overseas.
Yeah, it's true. And it's like, you know, I think that would be punching above my weight class to get into that too much. I think I'm certainly not an expert in that. But, you know, in general, it is happening. And, you know, I think it's another one of those labor issues that's causing a lot of stress for people in the industry. I mean, I think about what I've been hearing, you know, part of what triggered the strike with the actors is the idea of, you know, someone can be on set for a day, get paid, you know, a few hundred dollars, maybe have their entire likeness scanned, and then you know, in perpetuity. The studios can then use that image, use that person's image forever, theoretically. So that is problematic, to say the least. I mean, obviously, I'm picking a side on that one, but, you know, hey, you know, we're in an issue right now with in the entertainment industry, I think, where folks are going to have to pick sides in this conflict, if you will, this disagreement between the studios slash streamers and performers and artists.
Well, you know, certainly that's the dark side of technology. Now, steering back to hand-drawn animation, you have a special guest that'll be making a personal appearance
at
the festival. And this is a person who's known very well for his hand-drawn animation. He never quite warmed to computer-generated imagery.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're really thrilled to have Oregon native Bill Plimpton is going to be at the festival. He's actually going to be on a panel that we're doing, which is creating animation on a truly independent budget. That'll be at the Kindle Planetarium. I mean, for those who don't know, aren't familiar with Mr. Plimpton's work, which I would think a whole lot of Oregonians and people around the country are. He's a two-time Academy nominee. You know his work as soon as you see it. It's highly distinctive. I mean, he's just a legendary animator. And yeah, we're thrilled to have him. He'll be with us on Friday, August 4th for a special screening, talk, and reception. And everyone that shows up will get a free sketch from Mr. Plimpton. So we're going to be presenting sort of a retrospective of his work. And it'll be one of the first times that folks will be able to see footage from his new feature film Slide, which is really amazing. It's set in Oregon, and it's kind of like a Western of sorts about corruption in a small town. And it's really beautiful. I've seen some of it. And one of the more interesting things about Mr. Plimpton and his work is that, you know, he does everything on his own. So everything you see, that's a frame that he drew.
Yeah, no one is faster with a colored pencil than Bill Plimpton.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, right? To watch it, you're just like, holy cow, did he really do it that fast? But, and it's, you know, he'll crank something out really quickly, but it's just beautiful and so much artistic flair to it as well. But yeah, he did this all himself. And so when you see it, it's just really lovely. And I think it's going to be it's a great story too.
So Bill is definitely one of the standout independent animators. Who else is going to be part of the panel discussion on truly independent animation?
Yeah, well, we have another icon of the industry, and that's Joanna Priestley, who's had, I think it's 23 award-winning films in her career. She's a member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and she's going to be screening her latest short at the festival as well. So we're really excited about that. And we also have Carolyn Gare, who I mentioned earlier, whose stop motion feature Return to Kellogg is in the festival. She will also be on the panel along with her producer, Ron Hayes, who's a longtime entertainment executive who just has like hundreds of credits under his belt. And then Daniela Ripas, who's a Portland-based award-winning filmmaker. She, this year, I believe it was, she received the Oregon Media Arts Fellowship Award. And she's working on her first animated feature, Pour the Water as I Leave. So that is a pretty awesome panel. Definitely have some heavyweights on that panel. So I'm looking forward to that.
And some of these folks will be available to chat with members of the audience.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a little bit of time for Q&A after the panel.
And you have some awards that you're giving out, and you have a jury of local luminaries.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving out a lot of awards, many of which focus on animation, but not all. So everything for best 2D animated short, best 3D animated short, best object animation. But we also have, you know, things like best animated comedic short and even best animated short, because we did get a lot of very short animated projects, which is, It takes a lot of work, obviously, to make an animated project of any kind. So we want to acknowledge those short ones as well, because they'll sometimes get overlooked, I think, at festivals. But we also have Best Experimental Animation, Best Animated Feature, which is kind of unusual, as well as, you know, the festival screening a lot of live action content as well. So we have a lot of the awards you'd expect to see: Best Feature, Best Dramatic Short, et cetera. And then the jury that we had this year, because I know you just mentioned that, we're really proud of our jury. I mean, it's just such a great collection of folks, some of which have Portland, you know, connections. But Eric Atkins, who is was the director of photography on Marcel the Shell, which which people just love. It's just a great project. And Sky Captain, The World of Tomorrow, which was a very innovative film when it came out. Just, it really sort of paved the way for a lot of visual effects heavy works that came later. Peter Sorg, who's worked on The Corpse Bride, Coraline, Chicken Run 2, he was on the jury. Signe Brahmane, who's has numerous award-winning shorts under her belt, as well as two great animated features, Rocks in My Pocket and My Love Affair with Marriage, which is getting a lot of attention on the festival circuit now. And you know, that's just a great, great animated film.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser. And today we're talking about the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. My guest is Peter Alexander, co-director of the festival, along with Marissa Cohen. Now, the festival, it was formerly titled the International Festival of Cinema and Technology, and you and Marissa were globetrotters. You took the International Festival of Cinema and Technology all over the U.S., plus Toronto, Paris, and Sydney, Australia. So what made you decide to set down roots here in Portland?
Well, we've been living in Portland for about 15 years, and we really love Portland. And it's kind of one of those situations where if we were going to settle, have the festival have one location, it made the most sense for it to be in Portland for many reasons. We've always received a lot of animation. We've always had an animation focus to the festival, even when we didn't have animation necessarily in the title of the festival like we do now.
Yeah, Portland's been getting its share of attention as a hub
Animation
industry, especially since Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio took home the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature.
That's absolutely right. The other day I was listening to an interview with Bill Plimpton, and he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he said essentially that Portland's like the, you know, one of the leading areas in the world for animation now. It's sort of become the second Hollywood for animation, if you will. And that's part of the reason that we wanted to have this festival in Portland, because as I was saying, we've always had this love for animation with the festival. And when we decided to no longer tour and pick one city, for us, obviously the logistics of being based in Portland make it a lot easier. But B is all the animation that's going on here, from Laika and Shadow Machine, and like you were just saying, the work on Pinocchio that's occurred, and all sorts of other projects that are happening here. It's just, this is kind of the place to be for animation as far as we're concerned. So it was kind of a no-brainer. But yeah, after, like you said, globetrotting, I mean, it really felt like that. I mean, it was about a 10-year period. We were in 16 different cities around the world with this festival, from LA, New York to London and Sydney, Melbourne, Toronto. We did a lot of traveling with the festival. And this will actually be the 35th event in the festival's history. So it'll be the first event with the new name and the new branding of the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. But yeah, this will be technically be a 35th event.
So you and Marissa are big science fiction aficionados. There's some sci-fi that's happening in the festival here. But the two of you teamed up not so long ago to direct an animated web series, The Cloaked Realm. And the purpose of it was to bring forgotten sci-fi short stories to the small screen.
Yeah, that sums it up really well. Thanks. It was definitely a major undertaking. The Cloaked Realm has been about 9 years in the making. It's over 4 hours of hand-drawn animation. And for folks that know hand-drawn animation, it's a lot of work. But yeah, we've played the festival circuit and we've won about 100 awards with the project. Yeah, it's still weird to talk about it because for so long we were sort of just in stealth mode and we didn't really talk about what we were doing. We were just quietly plugging away at it. And, you know, here we are now, all these years later, wrapping it up and looking forward to getting it out there and hoping folks see it.
So what's the brand of science fiction that you're drawn to most, the genres, the authors that you like?
Well, you know, I think, like you were saying, that the Cloaked Realm was a project that is very near and dear to my heart because I grew up loving these old forgotten science fiction works that at the time when I was a kid reading some of this stuff, I didn't realize that they were, you know, quite as obscure as they were. It was only when I got older that I realized that people hadn't really heard of folks like Stanley Weinbaum, who we had adapted one of his stories, A Martian Odyssey, for the series. And as I got older, I'm like, well, this is crazy that people haven't heard of some of these works. These are just amazing. Weinbaum is a guy that he died when he was only 33 years old. And if he'd lived just a few more years, I think people would know his name. Isaac Asimov basically said that Weinbaum was a genius and that many ways, you know, he was kind of like one of the originators of what we think of as modern sci-fi. So he had a big fan in Asimov. But yeah, I grew up reading a lot of not just, you know, Jules Verne and H.G. Wells, but other lesser known authors that we've ended up adapting for the series, because that was always a dream I had. I wanted to be an animator, but I just didn't really have the talent for it, you know. So I ended up more focusing on the story side of things. Yeah, growing up, I used to think to myself when I was a kid, when I'm 18 years old, if no one's done anything, no one's made any movies or TV shows with these science fiction stories, I'm going to jump in and, you know, I'm going to do it. And then when I was 18, I'm like, well, when I'm like 30, if nobody's done it, I'm going to jump in and do it. And eventually I was like, you know, I looked around. I said to Marissa one day, I said, you know, I think it might be us. I think we might be the ones, because I've been waiting decades now and I'm starting to think it might be up to us. And that's when we sort of said, we're just going to tackle this ourselves.
What is it about animation that really lends itself to sci-fi stories?
Well, I mean, from a personal experience, I think in our case, had we tried to create this series, sort of a live action, digital effects intensive route, it would have been highly cost prohibitive. It would have been, you know, tens of millions of dollars. Where with animation, if you put together a talented group of people, you know, animation allows you to go anywhere and do anything. Anything you can dream of, any wild idea in animation, you can do it. I mean, animation, you could just have two people sitting on a park bench, or you can have two people sitting on a park bench on Mars or some distant world. So that's one of the powers of animation, is it allows you to do anything, go anywhere. So for a project for sci-fi in particular, I think animation is particularly powerful. I mean, I think animation's ability to tell what we think of more as, you know, grounded dramatic stories is obviously there, and it's probably underutilized. But, you know, I'm biased. I think animation is an underutilized tool in general.
Well, again, give us another quick rundown, some of the highlights that are coming up with the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. It's happening for 4 days in early August, the 3rd through the 6th. And it's happening on two of the biggest screens in Portland. Yes. The Empirical Theater is an IMAX screen at Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. And then there's the Planetarium in the same building.
The Empirical Theater really is great. You know, I've been in a lot of theaters over the last couple of decades, and the Empirical really is great. I mean, sound quality is amazing. The, you know, 4K projection in theater is really excellent. But in terms of like highlights from the festival, I think that one of them is Quantum Cowboys. That is it's sort of a hybrid animated project. So there's some live action in it, but it's very innovative. And it was in the Annecy Animation Festival this year, and it's making the rounds at some of the bigger, more prestigious festivals. Great cast. It has David Arquette and Lily Gladstone, who's one of the leads in Martin Scorsese's new Apple TV film, Killers of the Flower Moon, with Leonardo DiCaprio. So great performances in that. Really fun to watch. We have an animated feature, Tatina, from Norway, that is really stunning. It's two beautiful 2D animation, just lovely. And both of those are Portland premieres. And then I mentioned earlier the Return to Kellogg, the stop motion work from Carolyn Gare, and that's a U.S. premiere, and that's a lot of fun as well. And of course, we have our special presentation with Bill Plimpton, which I think is going to really be a treat for folks. And I think another highlight is the fact that all the screenings before 5 are family friendly. So it's there's a lot of good content in the festival for kids, a lot of good shorts. On Saturday, we have Operation Frankenstein, which sounds like it'd be really scary, but it's not. It's a lot of fun for kids. And that's the opening short for the feature Alice in Cyberland, which is it's sort of Alice in Wonderland, but sort of adapted for a cyber world. And that is a mix of, that's live action with a lot of digital effects. So that's a really good combo for kids.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we've been talking today about the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. My guest is Peter Alexander, co-director of the festival, along with Marissa Cohen. Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure. And again, thanks for everything you're doing to showcase animation in Portland.
Absolutely. And for our listeners who are looking for information about the festival, where specifically would they look?
Oh, they can go to OMSI's website for ticketing, or they can also go to pdxfestofcinema.com.
And OMSI is at omsi.edu.
Thank you.
Before we go, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that this community radio station needs your support. To become a member of KBOO or to arrange for a donation of any size, please visit kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. Or if you prefer, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/give. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture.